From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. As of this year, California's minimum wage is $16 an hour, which is more than double the federal minimum wage of $7.25. And fast food workers will see their minimum wage increase to $20 an hour in just a few days on April 1st. But a new report this month finds that despite these strides, poverty and inequality in California remain among the highest in the country, and the vast majority of minimum wage workers struggle with the state's cost of living. That report comes from the Legislative Analyst's Office, also known as the LAO, which is the fiscal arm of the state legislature and really shapes the bills that can become state law. Alejandra Reyes Velarde is the California Divide reporter for the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters, which partners with public media stations across the state. Alejandra joins us now with more on the LAO's findings and what solutions are out there. Good afternoon.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. Let's just start from the beginning. What sparked this report from the Legislative Analyst's Office, the LAO, and what was it looking at?
Yes, the Legislative Analyst's Office wanted to paint a picture of who low-wage workers are and whether the state's minimum wage is enough for Californians to live comfortably. They essentially wanted to give a clear picture of how high or low the state's minimum wage is, because when you compare it to the federal minimum wage, as you mentioned, it's a lot higher. But this report kind of considers other factors unique to California.
Yeah, we hear minimum wage a lot. I mean, that's a pretty common term when talking, frankly, about wages. But to give us a general picture, what is a minimum wage? What is it supposed to do? What is it supposed to mean?
Yeah, establishing a minimum wage is a policy strategy as a way to reduce poverty and address income inequality. So an attempt to reduce the gap between the wealthy and the poor. Over the last decade, like you mentioned, lawmakers have gradually doubled the minimum wage. And now we're starting to see policies for wage increases by industry, such as a fast food industry wage increase that you mentioned as well.
Yeah, okay. So the intention of the minimum wage, I think some would argue maybe it has lost its meaning, especially in recent years and decades, because even though California's minimum wage is $16 for an hour for all employees at the beginning of 2024, and as you mentioned, it's over double the federal minimum wage of $7.25, I don't think people would be surprised that $16 an hour isn't enough to live comfortably in the state. When you look at the report, though, from the LAO, how did this report give you a better understanding of why?
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, it paints a picture of the type of workers that are working low-wage jobs. So, for instance, low-wage workers are people who, a lot of them are actually older than you might expect. Half of them are 35 or older. These are people who have families, have people who depend on them. And that $16 minimum wage is simply not enough to make ends meet, especially as a single person with children.
Yeah. I mean, the LAO defines a low-wage worker as earning an hourly wage of $17.50 or less.
Right.
An hour, obviously. But you just mentioned that half of low-wage workers are over 35. So I think that dispels a misconception that maybe had that, you know, minimum wage workers are teenagers or people just getting into their first job.
Yeah, that's right. I think a lot of people might still have that idea that you work a low wage job in fast food or other service jobs, and then you kind of graduate onto higher paying jobs in adulthood, that there's this economic ladder that you climb throughout your life. The LAO found that that's true to an extent. Between ages of 25 and 32, people do tend to move out of low-wage work to higher-paying jobs. But after that, it's actually at a much slower rate after age 32. People kind of can tend to get stuck, and there's less opportunity to move up that economic ladder.
Did the findings have a better give you a better understanding as to why it's harder to move up the economic ladder as you get older, whether you're over 35 or over 50, because the findings also found that a quarter of low-wage workers are 50 and older.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it didn't give a lot of detail as to why or what was exactly holding people back. There could be a number of reasons, from a lack of opportunity, maybe within like the fast food industry, for example. And this has been a complaint from fast food workers. There's just not a lot of opportunity to move up within that industry. To move out of it, you need training, some kind of workforce development, or to go to college. And that's something that a lot of these workers already can't afford. They can barely afford to live, you know, pay for basic expenses, let alone find some kind of education or training to move out of these types of low-wage jobs.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the majority of low-wage workers are over 35. You mentioned, you know, people can have families, of course. They can be single parents. What other demographics did these findings include? Who are these low-wage workers?
Yeah, the report also found that a majority of low-wage workers are Latino. Many of them live in overcrowded housing with multiple other income earners in the household to make ends meet. The largest chunk of these low-wage workers are actually home health and personal care aides. So that's caregivers who care for the elderly or disabled. And a lot of them are fast food workers, but in a week when they get their wage increase to $20 an hour, that will no longer be the case, at least according to the LAO's definition of what a low-wage worker is.
Well, I think a lot of people would be surprised that when talking about a low-wage worker, it's someone that is caring for someone else, whether home health or personal care aides.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of these workers are part of the IHSS program. It's a state program that offers care aides for low income elderly folks or disabled folks who need it. So a lot of them are part of the state program, and they're still kind of in this position, unable to move up the economic ladder or exit the industry.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters California Divide reporter Alejandra Reyes Velarde about a report from the State Legislative Analyst's Office, the LAO, about California's minimum wage. So this was a statewide, a broad look of the state's minimum wage at $16 an hour, but that can change and that could feel differently depending on what county you're talking about. We have 58 counties in California. When it gets broken down to regions or counties, what areas are struggling the most?
Yeah, so cities and counties can enact their own minimum wages that are higher than the state's. And as you might expect, some of the highest minimum wages are found in large metro areas like the Bay Area and the LA region. The report found that wages in some counties of the Bay Area are 50% higher than the state average, while in more rural areas like the San Joaquin Valley, wages are 20% lower. When you look at specific cities, West Hollywood, for example, has the highest minimum wage at just over $19 an hour. And there's a few Bay Area cities like San Francisco, Mountain View, that have minimum wages that are over $18 an hour.
I would imagine, though, I mean, if you're saying an area like a region like the Bay Area is 50% higher than the state average, I mean, it's also the cost of living is higher there as well. So it doesn't necessarily mean that that increase in wage goes a long way if you live there and you need housing, of course.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the LAO actually said, and this is kind of, I guess, jarring to hear, but if you earn minimum wage, you can't afford to live in many of the state's most populous regions, like I mentioned, Bay Area, San Francisco, LA, regardless of whether you have children, regardless of whether you live with someone else. Those areas are simply unaffordable by their standards. Minimum wage earners who have no children and who live with someone else, those are people who the LAO office considers in a favorable situation, relatively, they can only afford to live in rural and mid-sized cities. So you can imagine how a janitor working at a tech company building in San Francisco, or a caregiver providing care for families in LA, might struggle even more, especially if they're single and living alone, which is a reality for a lot of people.
Yeah. Are there any counties that are faring better where the minimum wage, or even being, you know, 20% higher than the state's minimum wage, is actually feasible? It's something that they can work with and live comfortably?
I mean, the answer is no. Like, the state's minimum wage, according to the state minimum wage, no. Even those areas like the Bay Area, if you're earning the state minimum wage, it's unaffordable to live there. As for if you earn like that specific local minimum wage, I'm not sure that the LAO didn't go into that specific of detail, but it's only a couple dollars more. Like, if you consider someone living in San Francisco, you think about what could a couple dollars more do to improve your situation, and it's probably not much.
Yeah. What did you learn about rural counties or metro areas, mid-sized metro areas? I mean, we have a lot of rural counties as well, and the cost of living is going to be a lot different than a metro area.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, these areas tend to have lower wages, lower minimum wages, or not at all, not any different than the state minimum wage. And that's something that the LAO kind of pointed to, and pointed to the difference between what it's like to live in the Bay Area versus a rural area. There are just very big differences regionally in terms of how much low-wage workers earn.
Yeah, and so this is why a report like this is important, and why the LAO does this work, right? Because you don't want to just highlight a problem. You give this data and these findings because you have state lawmakers, and they can shape policy, they can craft bills, which can potentially become state law if they get signed by the governor. So what suggestions and recommendations did the LAO make in its report to try and solve, or at least make a dent into this problem?
Right. I mean, they made 2 points that they kind of highlighted for the legislature to work on. The first one is they have a very clear opinion on housing policy. They say that major changes in policy to reverse the state's undersupply of housing is necessary. And without doing that, even increasing the minimum wage even further as an attempt to improve people's living situations, that won't make a difference in housing affordability if there's not more housing supply. And then they also highlighted that those regional differences that I mentioned between various parts of the state. They say the legislature should take a more active role in setting minimum wages by region in a way that makes sense for each region, or helping local governments coordinate minimum wage policies to make things more equitable across the board.
Yeah. Given that you're a California Divide reporter, you focus on inequality. When you read through this report, and this is my final question, what surprised you most? What was the big message that you got?
I think the most surprising things would be kind of the age of low-wage workers, the fact that it kind of highlights that there is very little opportunity for economic mobility, and that there's a need to help low-wage workers either find a way out of whatever job, low-wage job they're working, or move up the ladder within that industry. And then also just kind of how clear the LAO office is in telling the legislature, you need to increase housing supply. Otherwise, these minimum wages kind of, there's a limit to how much they benefit people.
Alejandra, thank you so much for breaking that all down for us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Alejandra Reyes Velarde is the California Divide reporter for the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters. We've been talking about a recently released report from the California Legislative Analyst Office, the LAO, which said that the state's minimum wage isn't enough to keep up with workers' cost of living. Up next, California is a leader in manufacturing, an industry that touches many parts of our lives. But many historically male-dominated sectors still have work to do in representation. So we're going to meet two women who have been charting their own path in manufacturing, from artisan cooking oils to railways. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.